Welcome to this other episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Especially nowadays, listen each and every week because I'll tell you about the evolution of what I've been cooking for you, and I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. So if you stay subscribed to the podcast, of course you'll be updated about it. And if you want the behind the scenes, I truly suggest that we connect on Instagram. So just go on Instagram and check for my profile, Fabien Raphael, and you'll have a little idea of what I've been working on for you. So stay tuned, connect with me on Instagram, and you'll be updated each and every step of the way. Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, episode 245.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabien Raphael.
This week on my podcast, I interview Zvi Band, and we talk about relationships. You know, I know, I preach on it all the time. There's nothing like great relationships. It could help you transform not only yourself, but also your business. Especially if you're taking care of keeping in touch with the right people, the ones that will help you reach your goals, but also the ones that will inspire you to be a better person. So we talk about that and how important it is to create a referral system to keep in touch with key players, key people that will help you achieve your goals in your business. So listen to this and I'll see you in the back end. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, my guest is Zvi Band, and Zvi is the CEO and resident networker and relationship professional at Contactually. And Contactually is a CRM software for real estate, small business, and relationship-focused professionals. So Zvi, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm ready to crush this interview. And I'm ready. Like, your show notes say that you like to laugh a lot. I like to laugh a lot. So let's see what we can do.
That's great. And I'm so glad that you're happy to you're ready to crush it, because it's very important for me.
That's great.
Okay, so let's start by just asking you how crucial you think it is for a small business owner or an online business owner to develop a referral system, because I know a lot of people struggle with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so I would say, like, threw out two key words there, referral mm-hmm. and system. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the importance of referrals. I mean, I think we all know that above anything else, our best way of figuring out what vendors to work with, what products to buy, what brands to trust, it comes from people we know. It comes from social proof, right? Mm-hmm. And this dates back decades. And honestly, even in the information economy that we're in right now, the relationships that we have is still this incredibly important asset. Mm-hmm. So our bet is that, that going forward, especially always looking back, but especially going forward, that our relationships and the people who know us is our best asset. So that's incredibly important for referrals. The latter part is systems, right? Mm-hmm. That you mentioned there.
I mean, again,
this is something we know, right? Referrals and building relationships and maintaining touch with people, it's a long-term process. It's not like you can just kind of wake up today and just start getting more referrals. It takes years and years of work and building up that kind of, that base of people that will go to bat for you, that will refer customers onto you, that will come to you for repeat business. And so in order to make sure that you're executing over the long term, systems become really important. And so that's why having referral generation systems is such a critical component for you.
Mm-hmm. And then, was that the whole idea behind the creation of Contactually? Because it's a great way to actually keep in touch with your contacts, but also, like, Yeah, like kind of organize your relationships or the people you know about and know who's important and who is not as important.
Absolutely. Like, so if we were to rewind back like 6, 7 years, I was running my own consulting firm, and I was working, within a very short period of time after starting it, I was working with the likes of Ford and CBS and Volkswagen, et cetera. I was working with some amazing, amazing brands. And it was really not just because I was good at what I did, but because people knew me. And so I was very lucky in that point. But at the same time, just like everyone else here, I meet someone for coffee, and then 2 weeks later, completely forget who they are. So I saw how incredibly important this is to make sure that we're staying in touch with the right people. And so I said, well, why can't I have a system? Just like I have a system for billing clients and a system for checking my email, why can't I have a system for making sure that I'm in touch with the right people?
And that's amazing because you know that so many entrepreneurs, when they're trying to build their brand or trying to build their business, they have to send a ton of emails or they have to establish some contacts with networking events or live events. I've done when I started my online business or when I started my podcast, I remember I had to deal with sending a ton of emails to a lot of people to get guests on my show. And I know a lot of people have to deal with cold emailing. So I have my own point of view on that. But let's say if you were talking to someone starting, let's say, a podcast or starting their business and have to deal with cold emailing, what would be, from your point of view, the best way to do it?
Yeah, I mean, so I always try and avoid cold emailing. Just like we talked about at the beginning of this interview, relationships are so important. And so if you can find someone that knows that person, so for example, if I really want to meet Michael Port, I should ask you, not just, email him cold. However, I think the key thing is most people won't send that cold email. Most people won't reach out to that person. So the worst case is they don't respond at all, or they say, hey, please don't email me again, right? What do you have to lose? So I'm all about, at least sending the cold email and maybe trying again later and following up. I'm all about the cold email. I, as CEO, I still send cold emails for different purposes, and I'm not afraid to do so.
And from your point of view, then, what's the best way to actually approach someone you've never contacted for any time? You've never met, you've never connected with them, it's a cold email. So, what's your first approach?
Yeah, it's a great question. So first off, I'm all about, trying to find an introduction in, right? And so do we want to assume that we don't have an introduction in, or do we want to talk about that?
Let's say you don't, well, let's have both situations. Let's make it
Yeah.
fun.
So of course, if you have an introduction in, just like, just you email that person and you say, hey, I would love an introduction to XYZ. Here's why I would love to meet them, and here's the value I'm looking to provide for them. Here's why they are a great person. Would you mind introducing me? That way they can either forward that email on to the person or ask for permission. And then if both sides say yes, if you say yes, which you already did, and the other person says yes, then great. Then the connector can make that introduction. And then you can kind of, take it from there. I always find that to be the most effective route into someone. The latter is, if you don't have a way in, again, just introduce yourself. Just say, hey, I know you haven't heard of me before. I know we haven't spoken. And just kind of, give a really, really quick reason. Assume that, they're not going to have time to read like a, 2 or 3 paragraph long description of what you do. Just give them enough of a hook, right? It's all about the hook to kind of get them really engaged and say, okay, yeah, maybe this is something I'm going to respond to.
And I agree with you when you're saying that because having a podcast now for a while, then of course I receive a lot of requests via email, and some people don't necessarily take the time to express what value they can bring, or they just jump on, hi, my name is so-and-so, I want to be a guest on your podcast, can we make that happen? Or, you know, that's a short email, but then again, it doesn't tell me, first of all, if you're a great fit for my audience, and second of all, what would be actually, if you would be a great fit and all of that. So the way you said, like, expressing really what you can bring and what separates you from the others and the hook you're taking, I think it's a key point here that people have to respect whenever they want to connect.
Exactly. And the key thing here is to keep in mind, most people won't. And honestly, yeah, if I were to kind of say, like, have one phrase that should always be running through your brain, it's that idea that most people won't. Most people are afraid to reach out. Most people, yeah, will never press send. I want you and, I want you, the listener, to be able to say, no, I'm going to.
Yeah, that's a good point here. What about the follow-ups? Because, yes, okay, let's say the person has sent an email and they never heard about the person. Let's say 1 week passes, 2 weeks. How long should that person wait? And what would be the next step? Should that person repeat what they have said in the first email in case they didn't get it? Or what do you suggest?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm all about the follow-up, right? Again, you want to show, you don't want to be overly aggressive, but you want to show that you're interested and you're passionate about them and mm-hmm. you really want to connect with them. So I am absolutely, absolutely, completely all for the whole concept of staying engaged with the right people. And then being in touch afterwards, meaning like, hey, send an email. If you haven't heard anything in a week, follow up again saying, hey, just touching base here. Follow up in 2 weeks after that. Follow up in 3 months, right? It could be even a year or two, and you can just be that person just regularly following up. And it's not meant to be like annoying, right? If it's annoying, then they'll say, hey, please don't email me again.
Exactly.
Right? It could just be like, it just wasn't important enough, or they didn't have the time to respond. And that's completely okay.
Yeah.
So I'm all about that.
Yeah, it's a great point here, because some people think that they are actually disturbing the person or being annoying, and then they're kind of afraid of pressing again that send button. But if they never do, they might never get that yes. And as you said, maybe it's just a no, not right now, but yes, maybe in 6 months or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. What other techniques can one person try, let's say, other than email communication? Because I know Contactually deals a lot with like the way to keep in touch via email, but what about other systems or other ways of communication? Have you experienced any of these, and how they can help an online business owner to develop, let's say, their relationships with other entrepreneurs or potential clients?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're asking about kind of like the different channels to use?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, let's kind of back up for a second, right? Why email, or what are we trying to achieve,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
With the relationships we're trying to build, the thing that we should always be thinking about is, what is the feeling that I want to invoke with that person, right? Because
mm-hmm.
we as human beings, and still like the people that we're dealing with, right? They're humans, and humans are driven by feelings and emotions.
Yes.
So we should always be trying to think about, what is the feeling we're trying to invoke? So for example, for you, maybe as, a guest, I'm trying to make you laugh, right? But I'm probably doing a terrible job. I'm not a funny person. But, that could be something I'm trying to do. If it's with a past client, I want them to feel that I care about them, or that they should feel happy that I worked with them, something on the order with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, of course, opens up to saying, all right, well, what can I do to convey that feeling? So I think there are many different examples. You can, of course, switch up the channel you're using, right? Maybe instead of sending an email, maybe it's a text message, right? You know, because mm-hmm. text messages can be a lot more personal. Yeah. Or it's sending a handwritten card because, you know, very few people get relevant mail these days. You know, I get a ton of junk mail, but to be able to actually get a handwritten card from someone, that stands out. Mm-hmm. Or honestly, you know, I always say, you know, buy them a small gift. One thing I did for my employees, for example, because I want them to feel that I care about them and I'm investing in them for the year, mm-hmm. I bought all my employees a book, which only costs like $5 or $6 each, you know, with shipping. And then I attach a little handwritten card to each one, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So you should always think about the kind of value you want to deliver, the kind of feeling you want them to have. Mm-hmm. And then that opens up a wide variety of things. And so don't just stick with the normal email.
No, exactly. And what would you say is like the wildest thing that you've tried in order to get someone's attention, let's say, not personally, I mean, with business, like trying to build a relationship with a potential client or a future partner? Like, what's the best actually thing you've achieved up to now, and you're like, oh, well, when I did that one, I totally nailed it?
A basketball.
Really? You did that?
So just to explain.
Yeah.
There was a potential candidate I was trying to recruit.
Okay.
And we met for coffee, you know, just as you normally do. And, you know, when you're engaged in small talk, of course, you know, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, you know, my kid is, you know, in a basketball tournament. He's really into this free throw competition kind of stuff. You know, normally you kind of let, you know, normally that stuff would immediately slip your mind, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to realize that those little bits and pieces, you know, the thing they're wearing, the college ring they have, the thing that they're posting on social media, what they did this summer, what they did last weekend, all that is kind of fodder for things that you can do to kind of help build that personal relationship mm-hmm. and connect. And so, yeah, when I heard that, you know, his kid was in a basketball tournament, I went on Amazon, spent $10, sent him a basketball saying, hey, by the way, it's really great meeting about you. I really care about you. I know that, you know, you love, I know that, you know, you and your kid love playing basketball together. Thought you'd appreciate this. And still years later, this guy is still referring business onto me, referring candidates onto me.
Of course.
Because remember, I made that personal bridge much better than like just a follow-up email.
That's amazing. I love that example. Wow. So actually, I hope that if you're listening right now and you're looking for ways, unconventional ways to get someone's attention, someone you want to have on your show, or someone you want to have as a potential client or an actual client, well, try to think outside of the box and always make it personal. And that's a great example here, Zvi. Thanks for sharing that.
My pleasure.
You know that one of the best ways to develop relationships with potential clients or future partners is at live events or networking events, masterclasses, and all of that. So for someone listening who might be an introvert, let's say, how should that person decide if it's worth it to go towards someone or keep in touch with that person? Because we know that sometimes we could meet 100 different people in a big event and stuff like that. So what should be their first approach, and how do they actually separate who's important to keep in touch with and who's not?
Yeah, I really appreciate that because that's a key point, right? We meet tons of people and a lot of really interesting people. The thing that I would back up for us is I think we have to first understand what are our goals, right? What's our goal for this year? What are our business goals for the next few months or the next few years? Then we have to understand how our relationships fit into that. Mm-hmm. And then we should make sure that we stay in touch with just those people, right? So mm-hmm. for example, you know, if my goal is I'm trying to get more referrals for my consulting firm, and I met a really great software developer, someone who I thought was really fascinating, really interesting, I have to look back and go, wait a second, but he doesn't really fit into my goals, right? You know, mm-hmm. he's not going to help me achieve any of these things, mm-hmm. right? And I think the vast majority of the people that we should stay in touch with should be people that we feel can help us with our goals. So we want to make sure that we do that top-down exercise of figuring out who are the types of people that can help us with our goals. And then as we're meeting people, understand, do they fit into one of those buckets? Now, of course, you know, listen, a little bit of like wiggle room is always okay. So you can still have like another group of contacts that you think are interesting, you know, that you want to stay in touch with in some way, right? I would just say that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, well, let's talk about that email inbox, because I'm sure you know it's a struggle with a lot of people receiving a ton of emails because they've subscribed to so many lists, and also there are clients in there, there are potential partners in there, there are just information there, and there's junk. And I know that with Contactly, actually, with your system, you're able to create buckets and have important people in a separate list, let's say. So after a certain period of time, when you don't have contact with that person, it comes back up and tells you, well, okay, so maybe you should keep in touch with these people. So my question is, what do you suggest to someone who's dealing with a ton of email and has to find out a way to separate like what's important from what's not important?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would actually split it up, right? There's important and that's urgent, right? Mm-hmm. And I would focus on, you know, obviously urgent, you know, you'll still, you know, your email will still be flooded with people reaching out to you and you have to kind of cut time with that. But I would still make sure that you have that entire separation into what is also important. Mm-hmm. Because, for example, you know, the whole idea behind Contactually is you'll meet thousands and thousands of people. There are people that you've met that, as we just talked about, will help you achieve your goals long term. And those are the people that you want to stay in touch with maybe once a quarter or once a year or once a month. And Contactually can aid with that by making sure that you're staying on top with them. Meaning that, you know, if it's been, yeah, let's say 30 days or 60 days or 180 days and you haven't talked to them, Contactually will remind you just to make sure you haven't forgotten about them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I think it is important to make sure that you're staying in touch with the right people, but it's separating the important from the urgent.
Mm. And sometimes, again, some people are shy of, okay, so let's say it's been a while I haven't contacted with someone I really care about. And then they're like, well, wait a minute. I need to do a follow-up. What do I do? Do I go on social media? Do I send a personal email? Do I send a card to say, how are you doing? What do I do?
Yeah. And so I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier of like, what is the feeling we want to invoke with them, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it could be like it's a wild and crazy person from your past that, you know, that you never, like that you completely forgot about.
Yeah.
In which case it might just be like a Facebook message or something if it's personal. Mm-hmm. If it's just a like, you know, oh, you know, just I just want them to know that I'm thinking of them. Maybe it's just a quick text message saying, hey, just thinking of you. If it's something like, let's say it's the beginning of the year and it's a client that you want to work with that year and you want them to think, yeah, I want to work with them this year to grow my business. Then great, you know, maybe it's send them a book at the beginning of the year saying, hey, this is a book that I found really helpful. I hope this sends you off into the new year really well. Mm-hmm. Last but not least, you know, and we should never be afraid to do this. Just say hello. Just thinking of you. You know, mm-hmm. I see sometimes too many people get overwhelmed with like there's so many different ideas and concepts and plans and strategies. Maybe it is okay just to say, you know, hey, hello, tell me what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And it could be as simple as that. And I think, yes, people overcomplicate things sometimes. Yeah, before we end this up, because time flies here, but I'm curious to know, with your years of experience with business relationships and building them, what have you seen as the biggest surprise or something that you did not expect to happen that have happened to you?
Oh man, so I have seen so many amazing things happen. I would actually attribute a lot of the fundraising that, you know, because we're a venture-backed business, mm-hmm. a lot of the capital that we've raised has come from knowing the right people and it being in unexpected ways. You know, when we were looking to raise money in 2014, most of the money came from actually one of our customers who I just happened to connect with, right?
Wow.
You see a lot of amazing stories. And I believe that so much of relationships is knowing the right people and then kind of, you know, what I call increasing your luck surface area, you know, meaning more and more people know about you, more and more people are excited about you, more and more people want to stay in touch with you. That kind of stuff is really helpful. The biggest takeaway that I've seen, the most valuable thing is this is not something that takes a lot of work. It's not something that takes a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
What it is something that takes little bits of time and little bits of work over a long, long horizon. Right. Mm. Meaning that it may just be 5 minutes a day, but it's 5 minutes a day for years in order to build the right relationships. And so that's why systems are so important, because you need to make sure that if you're willing to cut out 5 or 10 minutes a day for your network, that you're doing as much as possible in that time, and you're doing it consistently day after day after day after day.
Mm-hmm. And that's the key to creating like long-term relationships. Yeah, absolutely. If people want to connect with you, Zvi, where should they go online? And I know that Contactually also has a podcast, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you literally Google Contactually, so that's Contact and Actually together, so Contactually, you can find everything about us. We're active on Twitter. We're active on Instagram. Obviously, our email, our web presence is great. You can sign up for our podcast or our mailing list. Tons of really great, really useful advice. And of course, honestly, if you just take my first and last name, Zvi Band, and just type that in Google, you'll come across everything. You know, luckily, there's only one Zvi Band.
Yeah, good for you. A unique name. So so thank you so much for so many great advice, strategies, and help to people that want to, to build their business, build their brand, and create those meaningful relationships that can transform their business. So thanks, V.
My pleasure.
I hope that this interview inspired you to take action, to keep in touch with the right people, for yourself and for your business. And talking about keeping in touch, as I told you at the beginning of this episode, you must keep in touch with this podcast or with me on Instagram if you want to be noticed when the stuff I've been cooking for you for the last couple of weeks will be ready, okay? So if you're not subscribed to this podcast yet, please do. And it will automatically download it on your phone whenever there's a new episode. So that's the best way to know everything about what's going on. So I hope that you're having a great week and that you're crushing it again in your business. And I'll see you next week for another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Take care.